welcome to the best of the Drew and Mike show for Labor Day. And we got a great show lined up for you. But it is a normal day, and on normal days, we must take care of...
Don't you know you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day?
I know, I'm
wearing
white.
What is her problem?
I feel bad.
She's not... Okay, we've been recording the best ofs, and she's... I took her upstairs after the full show.
She was like this yesterday.
She thinks that we're supposed to be in the same floor at all times, but...
Oh, my God.
Took them up because I didn't think this is going to take so long.
Dogs should be seen and not heard.
But see, Mags is being pretty chill about it. He's like, I'm coming. Zot Ford Summer Sale.
How about you, sweetheart?
Zot Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing, and that means the hottest deals and lowest payments of the summer. Better still, Maz is back and working. He's got at least three full weeks in a row. He's probably ready for vacation. They're celebrating with some great deals, and I don't know if they've extended into September on these. So usually they do extend a day or two, but they had the F-150 as low as 161, the 18 Ford Explorer as low as 177, and the Ford Escape as low as 133. But that event was supposed to end in August, and...
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, you're just going to have to check in with Maz, or you might want to email... No, don't email him. I think you just got to call Maz, don't you?
Yeah, he'll be quicker if you call him.
Which seems crazy, doesn't it?
Well, he always answers his phone, no matter who it is.
That's true.
The other day, he was here, and his phone rang, and it had a name on there. He's like, oh, I don't want to talk to him. Damn it. I don't have time. And within 5 seconds, he picks up. He goes, hey, Tim. Or whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah, boy.
Crap.
It's like he did not have time, nor did he want to talk to somebody, but he couldn't resist it.
Well, they do have ridiculous deals always, a massive inventory at dealsinthed.com and at Zot Ford and Holly. So I know there's probably a new copy coming, but I suspect you can find yourself what you want if you call Mass or just head out to Holly. To Zot Ford and Deals in the D.com. And then, of course, our friends at the offices of Dr. Yaldo want to remind you what a pain reading glasses, regular glasses, contacts are. Reading glasses, you put them on to see something, and you take them off, and you put them on, and you lose them, and then you're where are my reading glasses? they're a pain, and they're very unnecessary because of Dr. Yaldo and the two ways you can fix yourself and be rid of these terrible ancient technologies. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's leading, most experienced eye surgeon. If you're 40 or less, custom LASIK will change your life. Nearly 100% of patients get 20/20 or better. And if you're 50 and beyond, multifocal lens implants are amazing. Read the tiniest print, see everything with precision, and never get cataracts. Nothing to fear. These surgeries take minutes. They're painless. My sister's getting the multifocal lenses in a few weeks. She's fired up. Get a free evaluation. Call 800-398-EYES. 800 398 eyes or YaldoEyeCenter.com. Dough!
Very soft.
Come on, Patty.
And we're opening up with this is something I remember at the time thinking this is one of the coolest things that happened on the show in a long, long time because we were talking to this guy who had he got an honorable discharge or is it dishonorable?
He was dishonorably discharged. His name is Hubert Spires. And he was dishonorably discharged from the Air Force because he was a homosexual.
Aw.
And it took 69 years.
No, he lied.
69.
The military waited 69 years to reverse that and make it an honorable discharge.
Oh.
Wow. What year was it? Late 50s or something?
When he was dishonorably discharged?
Yeah.
What's
to get to 2017 or 2016, to go back 50 would be 66, and then nine more would be 57.
Yeah. He was 91 when we talked to him. Discharged 1948.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's what it says.
Math doesn't work.
Well, I don't know. I'm just reading it.
No, it does 69 years, not 59 years, 69 years. It does, 2017. That's right. Okay. Yeah, and he ends up telling us amazing things.
He ends up outing somebody.
Yeah, we were not bargaining for that, but I thought just to hear what this guy's life was like as a gay dude in the 50s, it was really amazing and pretty
rough,
pretty freaky and rough, and I mean, geez, what people had to deal with then.
And how he dealt with his parents.
That was actually pretty
funny.
Kind
of adorable.
Yeah, it was cool. So, yeah, enjoy this on the best of Drew and Mike.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Should we dial up the old gay guy?
Yeah. Yeah, congratulate him. It's a great story. Yeah.
Explain what this guy did exactly.
I got to look it up again. He's 91 years old, and he was dishonorably discharged from the Air Force. Is that correct? From the Air Force? I believe for being gay.
Years? How long ago? Got to be a long time ago, right?
69.
I thought he served 69 years in the military.
Oh, I thought it was after 69 years.
Oh, they discharge him after 69 years?
No, they finally made it right after 69 years. Does that make sense? Because what is he, 91? What's the math on that?
Well, maybe, that would make him 20.
Yeah, because he was kicked
22.
Out. 22. Yeah.
Oh, he's kicked out at 22? I thought he served 69 years. I'm like, God, how could you serve 69 years? That's fucked up.
69.
That's too long.
Oh, Hubert. Yeah. Lived with the painful memory of being kicked out of the Air Force as a young gay sergeant in the 1940s. The word undesirable was printed on his discharge records, but now at 91, he can finally be at peace with that part of his life. He was awakened by a phone call to his Connecticut home, learned that the Air Force Board of Correction of Military Records had agreed to change his status. His discharge would be described as honorable.
Was he really sitting around worrying about that?
Said his husband, David Rosenberg, who he met in 1956 and married.
How bizarre.
Married 8 years ago. His first words were, "It's about time." Mr. Spires is one of them.
So he got married at 83.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wonder how long they were together.
Gay! That must have been hard not to have sex for all those years until they were married, too.
Yeah. That's two guys, too. Would be really hard.
Yeah, they waited until they were married. So good for him, though, man. It's obviously something that's been bothering him.
I can't see gay guys. I mean, I wonder if it's ever happened where two gay guys...
What, saving themselves for marriage? Yeah.
We're going to have to get a gay person with good humor to answer that question.
Oh, I know one who might.
Really?
Yeah.
Would have saved themselves for marriage?
Oh, no, but might be better able to answer that question.
Yeah, I can think of a couple.
Let's see. Brooke... A spokesperson for the airport said the service branch had denied 27 out of 157 requests for upgrades since the policy was repealed. Let's see. Oh, he just recovered from pneumonia, too, poor guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, but the reason he wanted this is because when he does die, he can now be buried with full military honors. So it's really important to him.
God, it's funny. When I think about getting buried, I could give a fuck.
Oh, I know. I tell Julie that all the time. I don't care what you do with my body. I'm dead. Whatever you want to do with it.
Seems like, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I mean, if you want to throw me in the garbage, go ahead. It's not going to bother me any. It might bother you or the neighbors.
I never thought of it much until Sam Kinison talked about necrophiliacs.
Oh, yeah.
What a bummer it would be being a victim. You're dead. You think it's all over. I'm finally at peace. But no! No one can violate me again. No one can yell at me. No one can do anything. Oh, no.
Here's another quote from, is his last name Spires or Thorne? I don't know. Can't remember which one's his husband. Spires.
Spires.
He said, I have to go quietly. I have to quietly go back into my shell now because I'm 91 years old. My health is not all it should be. I can't take on jobs that require energy. Is he looking for a job at 91?
I hope not.
I can't take on jobs that require energy because I don't have it anymore. But I have had it long enough to fight the goddamn Air Force and win.
Nice. Hey, dial up Hubert.
Hubert Spires. It's
raining men. He's this clubbing gay guy.
The Air Force, by the way, has to say, didn't necessarily discharge people just for being gay. It was associated with misconduct.
Oh, well, that leads to a question.
Hello.
Is this Hubert?
Yes.
Hubert, this is Drew and Mark calling. We've got a radio show on the internet, and we were just calling to congratulate you on getting your honorable discharge.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
It's wonderful. How did it happen that, do you have a minute for us?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, thank you. Now, was it a thing where if they just found out you were gay, it was just boom, you were out? They just threw you out and they called you. They used an unfortunate term, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did they just find that out, or was there an incident of some kind?
There was an incident. Someone outed me.
Okay.
Oh, what a jerk.
That's not even an incident, though. That's just somebody running their mouth.
Beg pardon?
I said that's not really it's nothing you did, though. It's just somebody running their mouth, somebody, some big mouth, trying to cause harm to you.
Yeah, because he had been caught in a homosexual act, and he was promised that he would go easy on him if he named other names.
Wow, it's like the Rock Hudson trade.
That's ridiculous.
Remember the Rock Hudson trade where they were going to out Rock Hudson?
Yeah, the tabloids were going to out Rock.
Right. And they they gave up another actor whose career was ruined, and Rock went on to be a star.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite something. So, and we read you got married 8 years ago.
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. And now, was this a longtime partner?
Yes. Now it's 50-some years.
Wow.
That's a long time. It's a long time to me.
That is.
Was it really hard to wait for marriage before you could consummate your relationship?
No.
Oh.
No.
It wasn't hard to wait?
Or you we didn't wait for.
I didn't think so.
For marriage.
Oh, that was some bad information we had.
Yeah, some false information that was given out with the story. It's outrageous.
Was it a really tough fight fighting the Air Force? Like, how long had the battle been going on? Because, you know, the one story we read said you were in poor health. You want to be buried with full military honors, which is great. So how long of a battle was this?
Well, that story wasn't really true.
Oh,
well, I never used that as the reason. Someone asked me in the off the cuff sort of, why did you want to get legalized?
Mm-hmm.
And I said just a flip answer. Well, you get a free funeral out of it. And so people picked up on that all I was looking for was a free funeral. My funeral is already paid for, and I'm, you know,
ooh.
Yeah.
David, wow. my spouse David and I are going to be buried together up on Martha's Vineyard, and
Martha's
that's
Vineyard.
All taken care of, but, you know, I had no reason to say that's, you know, we get a free funeral.
So
that was just a joke.
Wow. But were you happy that it was changed to an honorable discharge?
Oh, sure.
Oh, good. Okay.
Of course.
Did you like the fact that it took 69 years? Because the number 69 is kind of cute, right? I thought that was funny.
71 years.
Oh, 71.
Well, the article had that wrong, too.
I can't believe all the misinformation.
Next thing you know, they're going to say that you met Mr. Rosenberg like in 1983.
No. No, we met in 56.
Where'd you meet?
We met at a seance.
Oh.
A seance? Wow.
Was it love at first sight?
Love at first sight.
Oh, that's
no kidding.
First bite.
First bite.
What? I got to imagine being a gay man in 1956 had to be really, really difficult.
It was.
I mean, was this something? So you guys, from 1956 until what year did you keep this a complete secret no one could know?
Oh, 56 to, I don't know, 30 years.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's incredible. Did anyone know, any family members, your mother, anybody?
No, that was the big pinch. Mm. I couldn't tell my parents.
I couldn't tell my parents
how I'd been discharged or why I'd been discharged.
Did they go to their grave not knowing that you were gay?
Yes.
No kidding. You thought it would just hurt them too much?
Yes. And back at that time, You're much too young to realize what it was like to be gay back in the 40s.
Oh, I'm not that young.
Yeah, who knows what it was like in the 80s, though?
I'm in my 50s. So
you're in your 50s?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a little less than 91, thank God.
Yeah, you must have some idea of what it was like back then.
Yeah, no, I do. And that's why I said in 1956, I can't imagine, because I remember in the 70s in high school, the idea that someone was gay, there was nothing that could be considered worse, or, you know, it was just it was just something. You're a pariah, that's all. It was just
right.
So in 1956, people probably didn't even know what it meant.
Well, it was a very bad position to be in.
Tough luck of the draw.
Did your parents just wonder, like, well, why? I mean, did you have to come up with an excuse as to why you were discharged?
I told them that I had received a medical discharge.
Now, what about, did Mr. Rosenberg ever meet your family?
Oh, yeah.
And how did you present him, your husband, to your family?
We didn't refer to it. We didn't. He was just my friend.
Yeah.
And my good friend, and we were roommates. And my mother came to New York to where we were living then, you know, to visit us. And even my father and mother came once to visit us. And they just accepted David as a nice guy.
As a friend.
He was a roommate because everyone needed a roommate to help pay the rent.
Yeah, New York.
Wow. But did you ever bring a girl home just to act like, yeah, I still like girls?
No.
Did they ever like say, oh, you know, Hubert, when are you going to settle down and find a nice lady?
No, they didn't. I think they probably suspected something.
Okay.
I bet you they did. Yeah. I bet they did.
I didn't.
And if you told them, who knows, maybe they would have been a lot more, well, I don't know.
They were really Catholic.
People were different, though.
Yeah, from what I read, they were really Catholic.
They were Catholic. Yeah. Very Catholic.
Wow.
If one can be very Catholic.
One can.
Yeah.
No doubt. Wow. Well, you know, this is a really fascinating story, I have to say. And, you know, for people who are in their 30s or 20s to hear you talking about this, it's got to be pretty mind-blowing to think of, you know, nowadays it seems like somebody comes out of the closet when they're 15, 16. People go, yeah, that's great. Congratulations. It's so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that make you a little jealous or just happy?
No, David and I, David is my spouse, we were never really closeted.
Oh, okay.
We went about our business. We were in business together. We never tried to hide it. We went out of our way to hide it. If it happened, it happened.
What kind of business did you guys do together?
Beg pardon?
What kind of business were you in?
We were in a industry. Business called Fabulous Fakes. Fabulous Fakes. We made fake antiques.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Is the business still...
come on. Your parents knew.
Does someone still...
You're making fake antiques. I think they knew.
Is the business still exist?
No, it does. Closed it. In 1970 something.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you retired. You retired
in
young.
New York, and we had, I can't think.
It's okay.
Wow, but you guys were together in New York City in the 70s. That must have been wild.
Yeah. It was wild.
That was a time to be in New York.
Did you ever go to Club Studio 54?
I remember Studio 54.
Were you too old?
You could go to a place. You could go to Studio 54 and be gay.
We never went there.
Yeah.
Well, they would have been in their 40s then. So
I'm just trying to think of what some of the hot spots. Did you ever go to some crazy parties with a celebrity there?
Many times.
Ooh. Like who?
Like who?
Andy Warhol?
Brezhnikov.
No. Probably wouldn't even remember them. Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn, sure.
Center Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hollywood Squares, of course.
Yes, but I'm from Ohio, and he was from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was.
So that was sort of we both ended up at the same party one night.
Did things get crazy?
And he's just as crazy as he was on television.
Wait, what about the guy in, Nelson Riley?
Charles Nelson Riley?
No, I never knew Nelson Riley.
So what happened with you and Lind? I mean, it wasn't something like, you know, that got David jealous or anything, was it?
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, because that'd be kind of, you know, celebrity and center.
Center Square.
Yeah.
It turns down to Center Square.
But, you know, Barbara Walters had me on the Today Show.
Oh.
She did?
Yeah.
Well, for your business?
For my business, Fabulous Fakes.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's
And they
neat.
Said they never received so much mail as they did from that segment.
Jay, are you looking it up?
They tell everyone that.
It was wonderful.
Wow, that's great.
What about, I'm trying to think of like other big people you might have crossed paths with, like Robert Mapplethorpe?
No.
Too young.
He was in the 80s.
It's true.
Downs. Last name of Downs.
Downs.
Hugh Downs. He was on the down low.
You got it on Hugh Downs.
He was on the Downs low.
Downs low.
No kidding. Well, that couldn't surprise me more. But
that,
who cares?
In New York, back at that time, you know, you'd run into anyone anywhere.
Yeah.
Go to a party, and there'd be someone. Well known, they're famous.
Though. Right. Okay. So it didn't mean anything that he was at a party necessarily.
Yeah.
But, well, I tell you, it's been really enjoyable talking to you about this. I'm so glad this worked out for you.
Congratulations.
And yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And are you okay?
Thanks for talking to us.
Are you okay?
What?
No, I'm not gay.
Just but tendencies.
We just thought.
True. Yeah.
We just thought it was a really cool story.
Are you gay?
Oh. Well, I think it's a cool story, too.
Yeah.
And it's a cool podcast, so.
Think it would make a film?
Oh. Make a film, yeah.
Maybe.
I could see it making a film,
hey,
sure.
The story left out one thing. How old is David?
David is 5 years younger than me.
Oh, he's a sprightly 86.
Yes,
sprightly
86.
Way to go, Hubert.
Yeah. Huh?
Way to go.
Robbing the young guy.
Yeah.
And who are you guys again?
It's the Drew and Mike podcast. In Detroit.
Oh, my God, Detroit.
Yeah. We read the story yesterday, and it's a neat story. So your phone number came up, and we just thought we'd give it a run.
Oh, God.
Hey, thanks so much for the story.
I'm glad to talk to you.
It was great talking to you.
Thank you, Hubert.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hubert. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 It's raining men.
I think Hubert was discharged for slow talking.
I found the story as to what happened, by the way. Let me see.
Oh, what a story, though. I mean, honestly, people have no idea what that would be like. In 1956, I mean, you can't even imagine how fucked up it would be to be gay in 1956. Mm-mm. Oh, my God.
According to the lawsuit and to Mr. Spire's account, his life as a young chaplain's assistant at the military base included playing the organ. That's the actual organ, not
yes.
a euphemism for anything. At services and typing letters to distressed families. He attended social events with gay men outside of the base, he said. At a Halloween party in 1947, Mr. Spire's dressed in a costume inspired by sparkly laundry soap. Someone at the party informed his superiors that he was in drag, the lawsuit said.
Oh!
He was interrogated by military officials, threatened with a court-martial, and sent to hearings and psychiatrists, the suit says.
Oh, yeah.
He signed a statement saying he had engaged in homosexual acts to end an interrogation. I never did anything on the base in uniform, he said. I had a whole slew of very good friends who were gay and lived off base. We partied together. We had wonderful meals together. And we went to the opera together. We lived a very normal life. I did not dishonor the Air Force in any way by my actions. That is the story of Hubert Spires. Sergeant Hubert Spires.
Wow.
He hit you with the Prince drop, too, right before he hung up.
Yeah, he did.
What did he hit us with?
Ask Prince again.
Are you gay? People want to know.
No, that was really quite a story. I got to tell you, I can't think of anything we've had on the show quite like that.
How stereotypical, though, the old fake. What were they called? The NT fake antiques.
Fake fabulous fakes. Yeah,
it's called fabulous. There, it's antique.
Did you ever find Barbara Wawa? Oh, here's Sam Kinison. That's even better.
I read the darkest, sickest thing I've ever read in my life this summer. Check this out. This is dark. This is it. He goes, Sam, when did we hit the bottom? This interesting sense of humor of yours. This is it. This is ground level, folks. This is the seventh level of granite rock right here. We fucking touched it. I read the paper. They said that a group of homosexual necrophiliacs have been going around to mortuaries offering them money. Let them come in at night, spend a couple hours undisturbed with the freshest male corpse. Hey, I wasn't trying to sell this as a fucking home game, all right? It's a story I read, folks. Jesus Christ, give me a chance to do some journalistic reporting here, will ya?
I just love Sam.
I felt the same way. I read this thing and went, oh, thank Hey, I felt sorry for these corpses, man. I mean, you think death would be bad enough, wouldn't you? I mean, the one thing that scares the shit out of everybody is death. You don't want to think about it. You don't joke about it. You put it out of your mind. But you figure if you faced it, that's it. What could be worse than fucking death? I got past death. I mean, you hated it, but at least you lived through it, you know? You got by it and all that shit. I felt sorry for these corpses because I know these guys were laying out on slabs. Well, life was tough, and
yeah, Sam's lying on his stomach.
I faced death, and I'm glad I went through it. And well, now I'm ready to spend eternity in heaven, be with Jesus, and Rock of Ages. Hey, what's this shit? Oh, I don't believe this. There's a guy's dick in my ass. Oh, you mean life keeps fucking in the ass even after you're dead? Oh, never ends, it never ends. Oh!
Hey, it's the best of Drew and Mike on Labor Day, and hopefully we've all had a fabulous, exhausting, exciting weekend already.
Oh, at Arts Beats and Eats.
Oh, we had a great time.
We're exhausted.
A lot of fun.
From
there. Yeah, I'm really glad I got there after my draft. I loved seeing everybody out there.
Oh, and you got the crib built too.
You got everything done. Thanks for taking all the pictures of all the work being done at your house.
I got so much work done.
So no more of the baby crib and the baby room is over. So that's the last time we'll hear about it.
No more excuses.
Yep, we'll never hear about it again. It's great. What a great weekend.
Nothing more to do. It's all done. You guys are so far ahead. It's so cool. Except raise the kid. I mean, that's no big deal.
Oh, that's easy. They raise themselves.
Pretty much. They do. They do a great job.
As long as you feed them.
These kids. anyway, Zod M59 Dodge Ram and Zod M59 Chrysler Jeep continues to rock the deals in the D Summer Clearance Event. During their summer clearance event, you can lease the new completely redesigned 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab at just $248 a month. Wow, Layla is relentless.
I know. Something's happening.
She has been the last three shows.
Yeah. The Ram Bighorn is the number one selling truck, half-ton truck in Detroit, and you can lease it for $240 a month at Zot M59 Dodge Ram. Did I hear someone say Jeep?
Jeep!
Well, during Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep summer clearance event, you can lease a new loaded 18 Jeep Cherokee for $199 a month. This Cherokee has heated leather seats, all-wheel drive, backup camera, CarPlay, much, much more, and it can be yours for $199 a month. Check out the ridiculous summer clearance event specials and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Brandon, you're just giving the baby her bottle.
Yeah.
And now.
It's a very important parenting lesson Trudy's trying to teach.
She's shaking?
You're indulging her. She's super mad at me because I closed the door on her.
So. Wow, that's it. That didn't.
Oh, look, she's here, though.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
you have treats.
You still have treats.
In the
you
treat
shut
seat.
The door all you want, but you still have treats. I know.
Your when puppy is so codependent.
I know.
Was she shaking when you carried her down?
No.
Probably.
She was excited.
Oh, okay.
Wagging.
She looked like she was shaking a little bit.
We need to get a dog whisperer sponsor.
Cesar Milan?
Someone like that who knows the trick, the magic.
That was really, I haven't seen her act quite that brutally in quite a while, but then again, she's always on the same floor with me, so. Thank God I never go upstairs, ever. The second floor, I don't want to describe what's been seen up there.
Tell you the truth, brother, between you and me, that thing with the dog is coming off a little fruity.
Rob is coming to do some things at the house. I'm going to have him go upstairs since I haven't been up there in a few months. Is the roof's leaking or something?
Oh, no.
Just washed your hands of it.
I don't know. There's no reason to go up there.
Come on, your house sucks.
It does. I know. I do have some stuff up there that should be better, slightly better organized, a lot better organized. But there's no time like the present to review your plan for retirement to make sure you're on the right track. Hopefully I've had my appointment with Luke Nowacki by the time this is being played.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm supposed to have an appointment tomorrow.
Cool.
Three days ago. While it may take a lifestyle change like cutting back on arm pizza or mac and cheese with .. Saving a little extra amount for retirement can have big results down the road. We talked about Mrs. Bentley and all those cell phone bills she paid for her son, Jim. He's 37 years old, still on the phone. Is he still on the phone plan, or did he finally get off?
Oh, he's still on that plan.
Oh, he's still on.
Did he leave that plan?
I mean, that's like $1,000 a year, at least. Mrs. Bentley could have had another 50 grand with all the interest in the stock market if she'd been invested. But
so you're saying Jim owes her that much?
Yeah. He does. I think if he has a sibling, they should demand that that be removed from his part of the estate. Not that we wish that anyone in the Bentley family should have to leave an estate behind. We don't want them to stop living. You don't want to look back years from now and wish that time travel speed was possible or feel like Mrs. Bentley and $50,000 poorer, and Mr. Bentley, too, for that matter. Yeah. So and she used to take his brats to church. What's going on with Mrs. Bentley?
She wants to do that.
I know. She has the best of intentions.
And she's trying
to make up for her son.
I guess mom do knows best.
That's an all day job. Call Luke DeWine. And Jim acts like it's the most normal thing. Yeah, my mom takes the kids to church.
Why? Hi, Jim. Thank you.
Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748 to get started on the path to retirement. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Signature Investors Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700.
La, la, Luke, I am your father.
What do you think Jim would say? You know what, Mom, I really should take the, I'm going to take the kids to church, so you don't need to do that anymore. And then either not take them or just take them.
Did he?
Oh, I guess she's at church though. So
didn't he say he used to like pretend he was going to church? Like he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stand in the back in the last 15 minutes.
That was when he was.
Jim, I'm sorry to tell you, you're fired. Get out of here.
I had friends that did that.
Yeah. Any kid that had to go to church and was allowed to go by themselves would pull that trick.
Well, my friend was Catholic, and so he went to the Saturday Mass.
Yeah.
And he would go in, we would go in, because I went in with him, and he would go in at the very end and take communion, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we'd bolt, but he would miss a good 40 minutes, and he had it down to, you'd think a 13-year-old would not be that precise. He was
45 minutes.
He was very precise. He knew exactly when to go in, and we were out there in no time and back in business. But I just would think that Jim would take the bull by the horns, but oh well. So what's the second best of item today?
Well, it's perfect. It's about generational stuff. Because when we first found out about the Gen Z guru after he was hired by the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I think it brings out a Hulk Drew.
Yeah, this was pretty hard to take. We were introduced to the audio here. We didn't have the drops, but.
Yeah, we found out about the story. It's not when we called the mom. It's when we just dove deep into it.
It's pretty stunning. I think now we just chuckle at it like it's not really going on, but it is going on. We know people.
I guess. I don't know if he's still employed. We should call the Vikings and find out if he's still employed.
And the idea that why did they want this?
To figure out how to relate to Generation Z because.
As a football team.
Football, yeah, they're losing fans and the younger generation, the younger demographics.
Do young kids not like football? Don't kids love football? Who doesn't love football? Everyone watches
participation at the high school level is way
down. Yeah, that's true.
Way down.
But I don't think this putz is going to help people. No. He's going to make people play football.
No, he's going to translate the NFL to Gen Z.
But again, he did not seem like the football type. So how do you sell a product you have no knowledge of? Plus, wasn't his dad
soft?
Dad was
softer.
He was like more effeminate than Lyle the effeminate heterosexual. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with his dad. He seems happily married.
He at least had sex once with a woman.
What? Yeah. That's insane!
That whole thing was so weird. This thing does go off in a million different directions, and I have to admit, it amused us, I think, for a good week straight.
Yes.
He made the show. So, how many kids aren't playing football? So is football having problem finding kids now?
Just kids are dropping out in favor, a lot of them in favor of soccer.
Well, that won't last. Well. There's been soccer booms before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it sounds like a lot of, this is what's funny. It sounds like a lot of it is due to the head injury.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely.
There's CTE exists in soccer because you're heading the ball a lot.
Aren't kids no longer heading the ball? Isn't that leaving soccer?
Depending on what level. I mean, real soccer, yeah. They still do it.
I wonder what the fallout rate is in football, though. Is it just a few kids? Is it half the kids?
They're
having trouble fielding a team.
Are we all going to be playing fantasy soccer soon?
Well, some of us do. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Or do you have any interest in fantasy soccer, Brandon?
I don't. I have to watch Mark play his little soccer game.
That's not fantasy soccer. It's just a video game.
Yeah, that's true. Whew.
Well,
oh, by the way, how did your fantasy football meeting go?
My team is stacked.
Yeah, who'd you get on your fantasy football draft?
A whole bunch of first rounders. A whole bunch of them.
Wow.
I know you wouldn't stop talking about it at Mesa.
That's right.
It's all anybody heard about was your draft.
Kick some ass.
And the nursery.
And people love
completely done and we'll never hear about again.
Two things people love to hear about: someone else's fantasy football team and their kids.
And their future kids. And your house is done too, so we'll never hear about the house being worked on again, right?
That's correct. My team's called the Detroit Dongs, by the way. Check out my logo. It's the Detroit Lions. That's shaped like a penis.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
We should post that.
We should.
Speaking of the Lions, you see they're going to finally honor Herman Moore?
Oh, really?
They're going to put him on the ring.
Slow down.
They're going to put him on the Ring of Honor.
Well, I'm happy for Herman. We got to get Herman on.
I think they're adding
great.
Somebody
I'm
else
so happy
too.
To hear that.
Yeah.
We want more.
Herman and who else?
I'm looking for the story. I can't find it. Damn it. That just broke on Thursday night around 8 o'clock.
I got to tell you, it blows my mind that Herman Moore would not have been one of the first people because...
Alex Karras.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's cool. Good. That's
and,
good.
And Roger Brown.
Oh, Roger Brown. Boy, those are two big dudes. They played together,
Webster.
Too.
Yeah.
They were part of one great defensive line. Lions had a great, great defense in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, really outstanding defense. Maybe even earlier than that.
For Herman, man.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll definitely get him on the show. So, anyway, listen, and Herman, I'm sure, will be excited to hear from Gen Z and all their needs. He's out in the world, too. On the Drew and Mike Show.
Please welcome Jonah Stillman!
Drew, while you were upstairs making some part of your body lighter, whatever part it was, I had a prediction of bringing out Hulk Drew. I don't know if it's going to bring you out. You're definitely going to be upset at this story.
Fuck.
The Minnesota Vikings
yes,
have hired an 18-year-old consultant.
An 18-year-old consultant?
To help them connect with Generation Z.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he calls himself a Gen Z guru.
Why is he a Gen Z guru? He's 18.
Well, that's Generation Z. Who else knows
because he is
about
that
it?
Age.
Yeah, he's that, you know. He
so
represents.
You hire a baby to figure out how to bring up babies?
Here's the question. This is an interview he gave. Can you describe Generation Z in a few sentences? And listen to how this guy has it all figured out. Generation Z is the generation that follows the millennials. We're born between 95 and 2012. We're raised by Gen X parents. We've had our own unique events and conditions that shape us.
Oh, shut
including
up.
Including the recent Great Recession. We're very different from millennials.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You don't know anything. You're 18, you dick.
No, I got to give the paper credit for asking this follow-up
question. This guy's prepared as the Deportes guy was to do sideline reporting on Monday Night Football.
Here's the follow-up question. What sort of research backs that up? Now, you think that's a pretty hard-hitting question. The answer is the most annoying part. My company, Gen Z Guru,
shut up. You do not have a company.
Shut up, baby dick.
Which I co-founded with my dad.
Who did is I a, do good, daddy?
Who is a generational expert.
Well, Corinne has a $2 million or multi-million dollar company.
His dad
with
is
her
a,
dad.
His dad is a generational expert.
Oh, I see.
So my company, Gen Z Guru, did 3 national studies and 1 global study, all focused on Gen Z's attitudes towards both the workplace and the marketplace. How do you go about your work with the Vikings?
This dude is so dreamweavered me already. I'm so pissed about this.
Looks like a tool.
What corporations did you find his... Look up his website, actually. His website is so goddamn annoying. His name is... his father is David Stillman. He is Jonah Stillman. What do corporations need to do to connect with Generation Z? In order to connect with Generation Z, you must first recognize that we are our own unique generation. Many leaders and organizations tend to blend us in with millennials. That's a huge mistake. While Gen Z is the most tech-savvy generation to date.
Ooh!
Which isn't every new generation
Most
tech-savvy to date.
But we are not millennials.
Oh,
we
that's
are
him?
Our own generation.
Gen Z, born 1995 to 2012. Like my dad said, the leading edge is already in their 20s.
I would punch him if I was in the room.
And for some reason, no one is paying attention to us. So many people are just assuming the Gen Z are
going to be okay.
They treat Gen Z like the millennials, and I can assure you that will backfire big time.
Oh, really? It'll backfire?
That's my dad.
World and the virtual world just completely overlap. Whether we're loading groceries into the store at the supermarket or adding to cart on Amazon, it is all one and the same.
This generation communicates in symbols oftentimes, or the rest of us use words.
Yeah, his dad's
we
gay.
Cannot accuse this generation
serious?
Of being illiterate.
It's gotta be.
They might type LOL or they might type OMG. But that is still writing.
From a very early age, Gen Z was told that there are definitely winners and there are most certainly losers. So what that means is that Gen Z is the most competitive generation to come along since the baby boomers. This is a generation that is willing to pay dues.
What are you talking about?
On average, how long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds. If we're refreshing our Twitter feed at least hourly,
you're not going far then.
No longer are quarterly updates going to fly.
Gen Z hates open office concepts. 50% of them want their own office.
75% of Gen Z would be interested in having multiple
offices. They don't get their own office.
35% of Gen Z would rather share socks than an office space. And we predict a lot of classes
not everybody gets an
Gen
office.
Z and the millennials. Why? Millennials are the most collaborative generation. They think in a group. They work in a group. And now comes a generation that's a lot more independent.
What?
We're going to see.
I want to see the kid one more time.
If we're not ready for this independent generation.
I'm starting to think his dad might be gay.
He sounds, well, I guess you can't sound gay.
Father, son, team.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's insane. On what day
you
come to that conclusion?
You're told to please turn off your phones and put them away, but we're going to stick with the Gen Z trend here, and I'm going to ask you to pull them out.
The part of me was really happy that he made it to the meeting.
What do you want
pulled out,
the
other
part
of me just knew he was going to give me a hard time for beating me to the meeting.
Hard beating.
So she walks us into this conference room, and I'm looking around. I said, where's Jonah? She says, he's joining us via Skype.
In my defense, never once did he say I had to go downtown. He just told me I had to be at the meeting, which I was. Take out your phones again, and we're going to take another vote. If you think I was right, click A. And if you think my dad was right, click B. My dad is an absolute Apple freak. So when a new product comes out, of course, he's all about it. Apple Watch, one of his favorite. So he gets it, it comes out, he sets it all up.
Nice story, it's over 8 seconds, I'm not paying attention.
So I'm sitting there, I'm ringing and ringing, and the phone answers, and he's, hello? And I'm sitting on the other end like, whoa, what is happening?
Oh, that's my dad, it's crazy.
So he's like, can you hear me? I can hear you great, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah, dad, they can hear you in Europe. Now, I'm not kidding you when I literally tell you that my dad used to tell me that if anyone gets a participation award, it's him. He got me there, and we're on time.
You're going to see more and more Gen Zers coming to work with a side hustle. Now, side hustles have been around for a long time. We used to call it moonlighting.
A side hustle.
But the last thing any of us would ever do is admit it. The leading edge right now is in their early 20s. We can get to know what makes them tick today. We can be proactive.
No, you can see that.
It's going to feel different. And immediately what I see too many people do is go to this place to figure out who's right, who's wrong, better or worse. It's just different.
Oh, I can't take it. No more. Please, no more. No more! Oh, my God, I hate them.
You and your father.
If they're murdered in the next... I don't know. If they're murdered ever, it's me. Make me a suspect, because I would love to kill them. Honestly, I've never wanted to kill two people more than those two.
He just got hired by an NFL team.
Yeah,
what a joke. I predict. Oh, God.
First, we are much more private when it comes to using social media than the millennials. We're using social media in new ways. Gen Zers are more exciting and private platforms. So naturally, Gen Zers will gravitate to platforms like Snapchat, where we have more control over who sees our posts.
Millennials are old and busted.
Do you want to call them?
No. I'm not ready. Tomorrow I will.
Tomorrow. I mean, it's a business
right
number.
Now, we've been on the air too long.
I'm be like, hello.
Too easily annoyed.
Hi. Oh, here's one last thing. The last question asked him. So, you going to college or what? Currently, I'm in the midst of a gap year or two.
Oh, shut up, gap year, you fuck. Go to college.
Since the publication of my book.
I don't know how much worse this can get. I'm amazed it's getting worse, but it is.
Since the publication of my book, I've been able to work with companies around the globe on understanding this next
great generation.
Shut
up! You can't be great! You're only 18!
Three, it gets worse.
Two, one.
I feel like I'm learning too much to stop right now.
Stop! Please!
I know
stop!
That going to college will always be there for me when I need it.
Oh, fuck you. Is you need that... it now. You're not that smart. In fact, you're an asshole. You're a flaming ass. No one will be able to stand listening to your bullshit. Oh, my God. You fuck. You stupid fuck. You know nothing! Oh, my God. He knows almost as much as Paris Jackson.
Well, no, this
guy knows that white supremacists are bad.
This guy's got it all figured out.
Yeah. I love it when kids have it all figured out. It's so refreshing.
Hey, I just got to see the reviews on his book and the what the hell is Gen Z work? How the next generation is transforming the workplace?
You don't even work yet, you idiot! You're working for daddy's company.
No, they co-founded it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. Yeah, just like Corinne. Oh God,
I cannot believe this.
I don't
is
know
a
if
thing.
I can. I don't know if I can go on. If this punk is in the world, I don't know if I can go on. Because I feel like I'm going to be exposed to him more, and it's going to just kill me.
Oh, man.
I don't know if I've ever hated anyone more quickly than this person.
That's pretty bad.
I'm serious.
Oh, and rightfully
so. I hate him.
Rightfully so.
Is there any more audio? I could hear a little more. I just want to verify that I hate him as much as I think I do.
Yeah, let me look. Well, there's got to be more.
No, you look for the views. Brandon's looking for audio.
Oh, here he is. Here he is talking to a friend of his. Let's see.
Oh, great. We can hear them relate. We can understand the generation.
I think
it
looks like he's walking down a street, and here comes his friend coming out of his house with his bike. What?
I think I know what this is.
Well, no. There he is.
Morning, Pee-wee.
Little Francis.
Today is my birthday, and my father said I can have anything I want.
Good for you and your father.
So guess what I want? A new brain. No, your bike. What's so
See, even
funny,
his friends don't like him.
It's not for sale.
Jonah.
Francis.
My father says everything's negotiable.
Pee-wee, I wouldn't sell my bike for all the money in the world. Not for $100 billion, $1 trillion.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
What a brat. I guess I don't understand Generation Z.
What's happening on my TV right now? Wait, go back 15 seconds.
Oh, on the TV show?
What? Oh, it's America's Got Talent. You have to go back. There's something weird going on. I'm not going to.
Oh, that?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Yeah. Is she really talented at something?
Yeah, I think she is. I mean, she's been the star. It's the girl that has, she was burned.
Okay. No, I mean, I felt bad for her right away. I'm like, is this a charity?
Oh,
thing
like, or? Did she make it through because of that?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even watch the show.
I don't watch the show either, but I know who she is because there's been stories done on her. But she seems legit.
Okay.
Like, she's really good. Unlike Jonah, the Gen Z expert.
Who's the guy with the fucking crazy pants? Oh, they're all in crazy pants.
Some dance troupe. Did you find any more?
I'm finding lots of people. Who's that guy?
Is that
him? Did you see that guy? Go back 15 seconds again, Mark. You got to see
that
dude. This guy's hair is really bizarre. Hold on. Did you go back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Put through to the finals.
That guy.
What's
up with his hair?
Looks like a wig on top of a wig.
App, or you can go to nbc.com/DuncanSave. The clock is ticking.
I did see one review about that girl. It said that.
But you can only.
And this is not. This is just a really terrible joke. It said, "Oh, she was on fire, but not last night."
Oh,
isn't that terrible?
That's nice.
I know, dicks.
It's catchy,
Kishi. Guess what? There is a audio example from this kid's book.
75 million traditionalists.
Wait, he's not reading it.
46. 80 million.
I need to hear it in his voice.
Baby boomers, 1946 to 1964.
Why isn't he narrating?
60 million.
He doesn't know how to read. He's a Generation Z.
65 to 1979.
He didn't go to high school. He took a gap decade.
82 million.
Well, you know, he's learned a lot more in the world.
Well, the Minnesota Vikings have hired a recent high school graduate to help them win over younger fans.
Jonah Stillman wrote a book with his father, David, about how Generation Z is transforming the workplace. Jonah just graduated from Minnetonka High School in June.
Oh,
the Vikings
the
say that Stillman will serve as a consultant on business initiatives, digital content, and fan experiences, among
this
other things.
This is not a story.
He'll help the NFL with some of its initiatives.
Generation no, he's Z not going to help the NFL with anything.
Who are currently high school doesn't know anything. And college age. Jonah's a hard worker, so.
And no, he's not. You don't know he's him. What are you talking about? Jonah's a hard worker.
Really kissing his ass. Stop kissing his ass.
And all the kids are treating me very nice. It's great.
Gee, I can't wait till I go to hikes.
Well, there's Jonah.
The baby boomers born the millennials. We know that Gen Z students are the most plugged in
oh, no.
we've ever seen.
Is he
seen.
Coming?
But do we really know how their lifestyle impacts their ability to learn? Well, we're going to get some great advice
wait
today.
Wait till you see pictures of them, those of you listening. You will want, you'll want to hit
David
him, too.
Stillman yeah. and his 17-year-old
Drew and MikePodcast.com will put up plenty of these videos.
Can we please stone him to death?
What is Generation Z exactly? Why is it so important we need to know about them now?
So Generation Z is the generation that came after the millennials. 72 million strong, born between 1995 and 2012. And it's so important that we're talking about
okay,
them because
I know
everyone
what's up
talks
with
about the millennials.
Know,
every day
I'm
we're
really
hearing about the millennials. And yet everyone's assuming
you
someone under 30
might be
is a millennial, yet this is a completely different
I don't
generation.
Know. Oh, yeah, maybe it's two dads.
Is already 22 years old, and we're talking about going back to school. Well, this generation, the entire
yeah, why don't
population...
Why do hear any more about Jonah's
you really
mom.
Got your dad's
Z,
penis.
It's a completely different generation than the millennials. And if we think about Gen Z, this is a generation that has grown up with so
you
much technology.
You don't know anything about
the
them.
Millennials
no,
are
they're not old enough to know.
Well, now we have a
who
generation...
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
They're truly connected and plugged in.
That's an incredible thing when you really think
hey,
about it.
Hey, so that's what most millennials know too, dumbass.
Their lifestyle and learning style.
Well, here's what's so important. What we're here to talk
why
about is,
the Brad is
that
talking?
Everyone just assumes if they have a combination of digital and non-digital tools.
Interesting fact right there. So let's go straight to the source, Jonah.
Oh, here we go.
What
oh,
else shit. Do we need to know about your study habits and how we can help you?
Yeah, I can definitely agree with what my dad said. You know, as often as I do study from an e-reader or an iPad, I do still like to take handwritten notes. And then when I study from something like a textbook, whoa. I like to flag key information that I know I'm going to need to know later.
Oh, no one's ever done that before.
And in fact,
oh,
yeah. I think a lot of Gen Z thinks
that is
like
so
this.
Innovative.
A lot of my friends feel the same way that no matter how digital we go, it's always important to step away from that digital world and handwrite some notes.
You are so generational.
I found it really
this is all bullshit buzzwords
and themes.
93%
of Gen Z use handwritten notes to keep up with their schoolwork.
Whoa,
again,
I never thought
my
that.
Goodness.
An interesting stat,
like
but I don't
for somebody with a high school education, he knows so much.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's important in everyday life and especially when learning. You know, as digital as our world can be, I think it's super beneficial to step away and go old fashioned, take out some pen and paper, and write down some notes.
David, wow. Where can we go for some more great information about Gen Z?
Absolutely. Postit.com/study to learn more about this generation. And I applaud you for
wait
having
sec.
The dialogue because Gen Z needs to get on the radar.
Post-it? Right, are they being paid by Post-it notes?
So for being here.
Is thank that why he's flagging things in his book?
Yep. I don't know. The kid's making more than I am at 18. Dick.
Yeah, because a
well,
daddy.
Well, not for long, because I'm going to fucking kill him. God, I hate him. God, I hate him. I have not hated anyone this much in a long time. I hate him more than Rochelle Riley and Stephen Henderson combined. By a mile. Oh, my God. Ah!
Sorry. You want to see Armani cry?
No, I could have been confronted with him without any... I'm glad I was with people when it happened.
Yeah.
If I found him on my own, it could have been really bad.
You had warning.
Jesus Christ.
I got to say, I never thought I'd be more intrigued by his dad than him.
Yeah, his dad's pretty fascinating.
One star. Anecdotal with loads of repetition.
Ah! Well, I can't wait to put my review up.
It's an insightful book, but feels very anecdotal. Changing technology is something everyone ends up adapting, irrespective of the generation. Forget about the millennial using Facebook. Even my 68-year-old mom uses Facebook. This book could have been neatly written in half the pages. It's a drag towards the latter half and full of repetitions.
I can't say that there's anything earth-shattering that I picked up from this. If you want to avoid wasting your time and money, just Google the highlights of this book and you'll get the essence.
No, don't even Google the highlights.
In a page or so.
In a page or so.
That is just grand.
Oh, this guy. I have the worst headache right now. I'm just upset that he's on the planet. And the fact that he's breathing, living, and spewing his bullshit somewhere right now just eats me alive!
2 stars. Working daily with high school and middle school students, I found this book completely different from the 11,000 students I work with annually. The majority of them are, this is in all caps, vastly different from the precocious Jonas Stillman.
Shut up, baby dear.
Less than 10% of the high school students have part-time jobs or have any desire to have one, and most of them need help with interviewing, interfacing with employees, unlike Jonah, who is easily able to Skype into a meeting in a professional manner. I would say the majority could not even name 5 jobs that they would like to invent, unlike their data suggests. I love that this reviewer, by the way, is shitting on the generation and on the expert of the generation.
Well, that's kind of fun, since he thinks they're so special.
Shut up!
Furthermore, I found it incredibly irritating they didn't publish their research methods. It isn't good research if you can't describe how you got the data, because it's all bullshit, it's all made up! Then it ends with, this book kind of sucks, and I'm a researcher.
I want to know, is he selling any copies of this stupid book?
Oh, he has to be, don't you think?
Everyone says it sucks!
It's on the NFL payroll.
I cannot believe the Vikings are paying this piece
of shit. Oh, he's going to annoy the shit out of every person in that building. I mean, can you imagine people who worked there 20 years having listened to his fucking know-it-all ass?
Not only that, but Gen Zers hate open spaces, so he's demanded an office immediately.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like the open floor concept.
I mean, I want an office.
Who doesn't want to slug him for saying this? Like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about?
I want an office.
My son needs an office. After all, we
so does everyone in his generation.
We co-founded a business.
Even the people on unemployment need an office too. They're in that generation. They don't work well in groups.
One thing I learned from my father is just get to the top. I know where that was going. A lot of cock. Huh? What are you talking about, Jonah?
It doesn't. Mark says doesn't count because I'm going to kill them both. Just forget about what he said. What I'm going to do is far more outrageous. It's too bad I'm going to be caught so easily, but it's worth it.
And all I can think
about eliminate
is,
those two, we'll do so much for the planet, in my opinion.
And all I can think of is
making this clock.
Go ahead,
Jonah Falcon.
I know. Well, that's the one good thing. There's a new Jonah we know.
Gen X. And the boomers and traditionalists.
Is that
we
dad?
Stopped fighting over who's right, who's wrong, who's better, who's worse. And what did we do? We said, okay, we're different. Now let's figure out how we can work with these differences. And it's worked.
Differences.
So how do we get to know these millennials? Well, for a lot of us, it shouldn't be that hard.
No, just go on Grindr.
It's so close to home. The parents of this generation, the ones raising them, are the baby boomers. And if you don't think the boomers, the most competitive, hardworking, idealistic, optimistic generation is going to take a vested interest in the outcome of their children, guess again. This generation of boomers is hands-on when it comes to parenting. We've heard it. It's not news. The whole helicopter generation and how they're coddled and whatnot.
Helicopter? It's not a helicopter generation.
We criticize the boomers for this. No, we asked the millennials, who are your heroes? Top of the chart.
Oh, he's talking about millennials, not even Gen Zers.
Mom and dad. We've never seen this before. Previous generations, what did they say? Political figures, military figures, sports figures, athletes, religious figures, you name it. But we never saw mom and dad. And I think this is so cool.
Or dad and dad.
But this is what's so strange to us.
You think it's cool?
Oh, that voice, man.
Oh, my God. Okay, should we save Ryan for tomorrow? Or
Armani? Yeah,
how long is the Ryan thing?
It's not that long at all. It's not, let's see. It's about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Were you just playing Jonah Falcon?
It was stuck in my head.
That was very sly.
But it's I'm going to give you an example.
So what this is
no more of this. No more of this guy.
Every workplace today, collaboration.
Wait. It's probably why is that playing? Get out of website. Here, David! He just popped back on my screen.
He's IMing you.
He has control of my computer, like that guy, like Wilson.
He's part of that generation.
How do you control my...
They grew up with it.
No, stop it!
I thought Wilson had control of my computer.
There is nothing more annoying than that kid talking, except maybe the father.
Well, them talking together is pretty bad.
And it's the best of Drew and Mike for Labor Day. And before we wrap it up, what is our last item?
The last item is all about Niagara Falls. We kind of revisit Kirk Jones, which was the most underreported story when he passed away. Like, nobody talked about it.
We didn't know for months, did we?
No, not at all. Except for this podcast reported it. And then that led into just a phenomenal story where we find about Roger Woodward, who was, I think he was a kid. Was he seven or eight years old? Went over Niagara Falls and lived and tells the story today all about it.
Did his sister go too?
Sister did.
I can't remember if she lived or died.
I know his dad.
No, I think the sister.
She made it.
I think the only one that died was a family friend.
Oh, okay.
I think it's exciting that we get to find out the whole story again. Again. No one remembers it.
No, we get to relive it.
Yeah.
I just remember it being a great story. Yeah. I remember Kirk Jones went over. The plan was to go over with a snake.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. How stupid.
So two totally different versions about going over Niagara Falls.
Did the snake make it?
That was our big question.
No one knows about the snake.
No one knows.
The snake did not.
Snake lives don't matter.
It's not reported on.
Remember, they didn't find the van for what, weeks or months?
I know it's just so sketchy. That reminds me of, in terms of reporting too, we should thank Dan Leach who reported that we had his back in 97.1, which is really funny. We talked about the whole. He talked to a limo driver who said the
Khalil Mack was in town, which was a total lie.
But you know. People talk, they have callers that say limo drivers say things.
Who cares anyways? It's hilarious. It was on Twitter. I mean, Trudy could tweet out that Michael Jordan was in town to try out for the Tigers.
Totally saw him.
Who cares?
Swear to God.
The whole thing was ludicrous. Dan Leach's name got out there a lot, though, so I think it was good for him.
I think the
story's so dumb, we kind of decided that we have his back.
Well, we didn't really have his back. We just kind of talked. Well, but we like him.
I have his back.
But then once he said that we had his back, well, okay, we have his back.
The fact that you mentioned the podcast makes me have his back.
Yeah, at 2 a.m.
The story, I didn't really feel strongly or negatively about it one way or the other. I just thought it was funny that people were having such a shit fit about it. I was like, oh my God, really?
Yeah, they take sports way too serious.
Good choice, by the way, Brandon. Waterfalls.
Something you should take serious is your next car shopping experience, and maybe check out some Lincolns, specifically from Hoop Maginery Star Lincoln, where it's a great time to buy or lease a Lincoln during Lincoln's summer sales event. If you're coming off a Ford or Lincoln lease, you can save up to $5,000. And if you're on A or X plan, conquest, or renewal buyer, there's great savings on reserve package cars featuring great options like blind spot monitoring and navigation. As for the Lincoln Navigator, a J.D. Power study calls it the most appealing vehicle of 2018. It got its highest score in the last 6 years. Drew and Mike, listeners, all you need to do to check out the Lincolns is called Jimmy D. He's going to give you all the particulars. He knows every single car on the lot. He's going to break it all down for you, tell you what's going fast or how he can line up the perfect MKZ sedan or an MKX SUV just for you. Call Jimmy at 855-567-STAR or email him at jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Lincoln is the star among American luxury cars, and that's why Hoot named the dealership just that. I love my MKZ. You're going to feel the same way. So give Jimmy D a call and get on the team.
And we wrap up the best Drew and Mike from the dealsinthed.com studios. I think we may have used the Hall Financial Hotline on this.
Probably
as well. Possibly. I don't know. They deserve mention.
Before it was the Hall Financial Hotline.
Oh, that's right. But click the link anyway if you want information on taking money out of your house, shortening the length of your loan, or buying your dream house. The best of Drew and Ike.
Did you miss the Kirk Jones story?
Oh, yes, I did.
Did that capture your attention? I thought it was a really interesting story.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty interesting. Hang on, let me just get this done and talk about Kirk Jones. It's just so, I don't know, it's just something pathetic about it.
He's the guy that went over the Niagara Falls years ago.
In an attempt at suicide, made it, became a star, and then decided that nobody was thinking about him, so he decided to go over Niagara Falls again in an 8-foot bubble ball.
With a snake.
With a boa constrictor.
While controlling a drone camera. It's a lot of multitasking.
And his friend bolted at the last minute because he said he didn't want to be any part of it. So he was by himself running all this stuff.
We were shocked that nobody had covered it. Nobody around here did a story on it or anything. It was the most undercovered story of 2017.
He was missing for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing, and then his body was found, and then it kind of came out, I guess, right? Isn't that when it came out?
Yeah, but even then, nobody really talked about it around here until now.
Yeah, Kirk Jones, it's just such a, it's just so pathetic, the whole thing. I didn't realize he came from a wealthy family.
That's the most interesting thing in this article.
And I don't understand these.
He sounds really lazy.
Well, oh my God, beyond lazy, it's just... It's ridiculous. He never works except for his dad. And even when he was at Niagara Falls, his dad wired him $300 when he was there to commit suicide. They didn't explain that, by the way. Why did his dad wire him $300 to help him commit suicide? Or did he tell his dad something else, probably?
He seemed like he was the life of the party, though.
Yeah.
Everybody loved him.
That was the part that surprised me. I thought he was just kind of a load.
Yeah.
I mean,
a total load.
I don't know how you really can deny that he's a load.
After he went over Niagara Falls the first time, Alice Cooper put him in a hotel.
Oh, God.
And Kirk immediately invited all his friends from Michigan to share in his good fortune and then ran up a room bill of several $1,000s. But what it doesn't
say... Did Alice cover that?
That's what I don't know. It doesn't say if Alice Cooper covered the bill. I mean, Kirk wouldn't have been able to.
There's something kind of funny about Alice Cooper decided to put him up. Hey, this guy at Niagara Falls really has my attention. I'll put him up.
That's nice of him to do
so
that.
So Alice just put his credit card on there and just said, yeah, just stay as long as you want.
At what point did the hotel call Alice and go, I don't know, I think we should tell you this, but your credit card's running up quite a charge by these guys in the room. But it's funny, the line after that is about a childhood friend who just talks about how he would give you his last dollar. And all I can think of is, yeah, it's Alice Cooper's dollar.
Well, yeah, and if it's his father's dollar, he never made a dollar.
No.
He was no schlub as a teenager. He favored silk shirts, bell bottoms, and velvet black shoes with a red stripe.
Cool.
He wore a Rolex and drove a new Cadillac. He had $100 in his pocket while his friends had $20. Girls were drawn to him.
Or the money.
The money came from his dad, Ray, who owned a business and made measuring devices for auto part makers. He always had the best
of everything. Oh, I like money.
He had the best of everything. The world he was raised in was glorious and fat.
Nice.
But after high school, he lurched from job to job. He had little taste for the 9-to-5 grind. His friend hired him as a painter. He didn't fire him because he knew Jones would quit within several weeks, and that's what happened. That sounds like a good hire.
I gotta say, at least the guy could read people after he hired him.
So the only job he ever had was working for his father, filling orders and driving a truck, but accounts vary as to how much work he did.
Mm.
He kept living with his parents through adulthood?
Yeah.
His dad was proud of him for the first Niagara Falls thing.
Well, because he lived.
But he lived out of total luck.
Luck, yeah. That's what, there's a bit of irony in this as well, because he lived out of luck the first time, and then the second time with the snake and the drone and all that, he actually seemed to do some kind of weird research about it, and then, of course, died.
How much research do you think this guy really did?
He threw a piece of styrofoam in the water. I'm going to watch where it went. That's what it said. He visited the falls several times before. Oh, this was before his first jump, throwing styrofoam into the water, see where it landed. He believed he found a spot where the water fell away from the rocks.
Wait, but I thought he wanted to die, so why would he be looking for a place where it fell away from the rocks?
They claim in this piece that he never really gave an answer about that, in that he said it was a suicide because he thought that would lessen the fine
doing
it, and it really did. He didn't pay the $10,000 fine. It was more like a
$2,000 something,
fine.
Yeah. I don't really understand why people were so interested in this. He was on Good Morning America, an Inside Edition.
Because it was ridiculous, Drew, that somebody, he was the first person to go over without any kind of protection. It's kind of amazing.
Did you see the picture of him in his circus outfit?
Yes, awesome.
Why did the Florida Circus hire this idiot?
Well, because if he's crazy enough to go over the falls, maybe they felt he was crazy enough to put his head in a tiger's mouth.
They said in the circus, he signed autographs and led alpacas into the ring during opening parades.
That's it.
Who would want his autograph? Seriously. Through sheer luck, he survived Niagara Falls. That you want his autograph? I don't know, are we autograph crazy?
I have no idea.
The circus closed after 3 months. The book was never written.
Oh, yeah, the book he was going to write.
He was going to go to Vegas and jump off a hotel onto a bunch of foam pads. That fizzled.
Cool.
That idea fizzled, though.
Remember, this was in the time of David Blaine doing all his tricks.
Yeah.
Chris Angel.
But David Blaine does research.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's the idiot that happened to survive Niagara Falls.
I think the title of his memoir was appropriate, though. He was going to call it, "You're Kidding Me, A Knucklehead's Guide to Surviving Niagara Falls.
His parents retired to Oregon. He moved in with them. His dad suffered a stroke. He took care of him until his death.
That's nice.
Jones and his brother, who had also lived to Oregon, were charged with selling cocaine from the Salem home they shared with Mom!
Uh-oh.
Mom, the cops are here!
Hi, Mom. Where's my mom?
Keith had been convicted of selling drugs in the past, served 2 weeks in the Marion County Jail. Kirk, who didn't have a criminal record, received probation, but after failing to perform community service, spent 5 months in jail.
Oops.
Hi, Mommy.
Was released in 2011, the brothers removed their mother from an Oregon nursing home and brought her to Florida. I'm sure that was great for her. The trip apparently violated... Oh, this is by car they drove to Florida?
I would assume.
I'm sure moms in nursing homes love long car rides.
Ma, the meatloaf!
It violated several conditions of his probation. Remain in Oregon, find employment, perform community service, stay away from his brother. Jail officials couldn't discuss his case in detail. Fox said he warned Kirk to straighten out the probation issue, but Kirk downplayed the matter. Oh, it's no big deal. Kirk said he learned from other inmates how to avoid police while seeking food and other assistance from churches and social service groups. Good for him.
Go home to Mommy.
It's hard to become a pizza delivery guy from Wayne with an old car when you grow up like he did, where everything was given to you.
Yeah, so basically he's lazy.
Oh, my God, what a loser. In Spring Hill, Florida, he doted on his elderly mother, Doris. He put on her jewelry, made sure her clothes matched, drove her to her medical appointments. Why didn't he put on matching clothes and go to an interview? But money was tight. He was caught shoplifting from Walmart in 2014, paying $50 in two payments. Why didn't that spur the Oregon thing? Why didn't Oregon
ship him on back?
Yeah. His brother died from a heart attack that year. Doris passed away the following year.
Maybe because he paid the fine pretty quick in two payments.
Oh.
Did you catch that part?
Yeah, in two payments. $50 fine. Mother and brother died. Kirk, a lifelong bachelor, then married Holly Marion, a fellow fan of heavy metal music, but the union quickly soured.
How did he trick her into marrying him?
No, she's 40 and he's 57 or 53?
Yeah.
Wow.
But he seems late.
Well, they shared heavy metal. They had a love of heavy metal. Okay. Jones rarely spoke about his plunge, certainly never showed
any. It's a big scam!
In repeating it, if you ever thought a big bounty rested at the bottom of the falls, he had been disabused of that notion in the stunt's aftermath, and yet in April his life had taken a winding path to the same spot. The risk was huge, the payoff small. It makes no sense. Why would he try it a second time, said Joanne Buzerio, who befriended Jones after he moved to Florida.
It seemed like he had a lot of friends.
There's something...
I guess over time.
...magnetic about this loser.
Well, it seems like doesn't he seem like the kind of guy who... is friendly because he needs stuff?
Yeah, probably. This is the thing that most shocks me in the story. The second time around, he took precautions. He spent $800 for an inflatable rubber ball with a zippered hitch. Where'd he get $800?
Probably from his
Explain that, please. Did Alice Cooper pay for it? Seriously. He has to make a $50 payment for shoplifting in two payments, but he has $800 for an inflatable rubber ball with a zippered hatch. You may have gotten the idea from Bill Fitzgerald, who wrote Over the Falls in a similar contraption in 1961. The ball struck a rock but bounced harmlessly away, leaving Fitzgerald unhurt.
I'm gonna need that $130, you know, whenever you get a chance.
But Jones didn't think using a ball would be noteworthy enough, especially after having taken the plunge unprotected. He needed to make it seem more daring or at least exotic. That's where Misty came in. Misty was Jones' yellow albino boa constrictor whom he'd bought a year or so earlier. Where did he get the money for did Alice Cooper buy the boa constrictor?
It was probably one of Alice's old boa constrictors.
Yeah, Alice, he probably said, Alice, can I have money for a boa constrictor? And Alice said, I'll just send you one. Jones regretted not taping.
Snake.
He regretted not taping the first stunt, so he planned to film the second one with a camera mounted to a drone, which he would control with a device on his wrist.
Oh, brilliant.
He used to find a website where he planned to market the second escapade. It was going to sell T-shirts with a photo of Jones, the Falls, and the Snake.
Oh, my
Believe
God.
In the impossible. Kirk Jones and Misty conquer Niagara Falls, New York, 2017.
But make sure you have the right one.
Thank you, Trump doll.
April 19th, tourists spotted an empty rubber ball spinning above the waterfalls.
I don't know why. There's just a perfectly sad yet funny look to it.
Stuck on some rocks.
Kirk Jones-less ball is rolling.
Ridiculous. With a zipper open, of course.
And the snake, the poor snake.
Yeah, the snake has not been found.
The snake at that time is going down the falls going,
The next day, a worker found the drone on a nearby island.
Oh.
Video from the camera showed the drone taking off, hovering over the river for several minutes, and then crashing. No signs of Jones.
So he's a poor pet owner. He's a poor drone operator.
How dare he do that to his pet?
What does this guy do well?
Ex-wife Marion called State Park Police to say he may have ridden over the falls. They found his 2001 Honda minivan. When did he get a minivan, by the way?
Was Cooper looking to get rid of one?
Oh, well, maybe. I mean, that would explain it, but I'm just thinking he's 53. He's a bachelor. Why would he have a minivan? Yeah, obviously, it was free. Somebody gave it to him.
Stole it.
Holding an empty snake cage in his Honda minivan. So they had Jones' drone, his ball, and Jones' van, but they didn't have Jones. June 2nd, a boater discovered his body 12 miles from the falls, about where the river flows into Lake Ontario. Misty is still missing. Well, they're really looking for Misty.
Man. Poor snake.
Police don't know if Jones had ever gotten into the ball or had fallen or jumped out.
Why did I do this?
He may have failed to heed a lesson from fellow Michigander. Wait, I hope to get rich from her stunt, but died broke. Oh, that was, they were talking about her earlier. She considered a second plunge, but deemed it too dangerous. She's buried in Stunter's section of, they have a Stunter section of Oakwood Cemetery in Niagara Falls.
Oh, cool.
Jones' body lies in the Erie County morgue in Buffalo. If it continues to be unclaimed, the morgue will eventually have to remove it to make room for new ones. If that happens, one place it could be taken is Oakwood Cemetery. Oh, for the Stunters section.
Oh, man. Who's going to claim that? Alice Cooper should claim the body. Get all his stuff back.
It's 2000.
I'm glad Planet Earth still cares about me.
Planet Earth doesn't care about you, Jones.
Honda minivan.
He's got the snake cage in it. Remember they found the minivan?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
For the snake. Absolutely. Alice Cooper, because he put him up in a hotel years ago, is just tied into his life forever. There's no shaking Jones. Once you enter his life, you're stuck forever.
Oh, my God. What a story.
That's wild.
What's the Roger Woodward status? Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to give him a few numbers, so.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
I think the first number is good, Brandon.
Seriously?
Yes.
With a voicemail was his name on
Sweet.
It, but went to voicemail.
Did he say, this is Mr. Woodward, the guy that went over the Niagara Falls?
The seven-year-old.
When I was seven.
Seven-year-old.
In a lifejacket.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, plugged a website.
In a lifejacket.com. I mean, I'd like to talk to Oh, is this Roger?
Yes.
Roger, this is the Drew and Mike podcast calling from Michigan. How you doing?
I'm sorry, who is it again?
It's the Drew and Mike Show, calling from Detroit, Michigan. We were just reading about a Niagara Falls stunt involving somebody who just passed away, and they had referenced a seven-year-old named Roger Woodward who did this stunt in 1960. Is that you?
That's me.
That's you?
Oh.
No way! With just a life jacket? Stunt.
It was no stunt. It was a total accident, and a man lost his life.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you mean when you went over?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
July 9th, 1960, when I went over, I was 7 years old, and a man by the name of Jim Honeycutt was killed, and my sister was saved 20 feet from the brink.
Wow, what happened? All we knew is that you survived.
Yeah, this article was very misleading. It was sort of giving you credit for being the only person who had survived this,
like,
besides
stunt
Kirk Jones, and so it was misleading. And I'm sorry
Jones?
For that.
Yeah,
Kirk Jones is deceased.
Yeah, he died.
Yeah, it's the most undercovered story in America in 2017. Nobody's talked about that. He just passed away.
And that's. Do you know what happened?
Yeah, he tried to go over Niagara Falls again
in an inflatable. Inflatable ball with a boa constrictor. And apparently he had his partner, who's going to help him, saw the falls and said, I don't want any part of this. He had a drone that was going to film him. And apparently when he was getting in the ball, the entry, I don't know if he was unable to get in or the boa constrictor or what happened, but the ball went down. They saw the ball without him in it. And then his body was found a couple months later, I believe.
Tragic.
Yeah, no, tragic. No, it was a terrible story. But would you mind telling us just a cliff notes of what exactly, how this came about that you went over the falls?
Well, my dad was working on the Robert Moses power plant, and a friend of the family, Jim Honeycutt, that my dad worked with, invited my sister and I to go on a Saturday afternoon boat ride, July 9th, 1960, a little 12-foot aluminum fishing boat with a 7.5-horsepower motor. So we set out from well above Grand Island, the Grand Island Bridge, and we just were going down river. And, of course, my sister and I had no idea where we were. I'd never been in a boat before.
And we're
only seven.
We're also complete novices to Niagara Falls, so anything you can add that might help us understand what happened.
So we're going down river. We hit something in the water. And we lost the power to the motor because the shear pin on the propeller broke. And unfortunately, Jim didn't have an anchor and he didn't have a line. He didn't have the proper safety gear, you know, but his last heroic act in life was to tell my sister immediately to put the last remaining life jacket on because there were only two.
Oh, boy.
And I had one on already because that was a condition to be going for my mother. So now we're caught in the current going downriver, and we hit one wave, and then we hit another, and the second wave came over the bow, and it breached the boat, and we capsized. So now we're all in the water.
Oh, my God.
My sister was an extremely strong swimmer, and she was able to, you know, of course, she was panicked because she's 10 years older than me, and here I am, a 7-year-old kid, and the last thing Mom said to her was, make sure you look out for Roger. So Dee's trying to find me, and then she realizes that she had better, you know, start thinking about herself because she couldn't find me. I was gone. And so she started swimming perpendicular to the current, which is what you're supposed to do. And
did she know that?
I think she was just trying to swim towards land.
Right. Sure.
You know, and that was towards Goat Island, which separates the American Falls from the Horseshoe Falls. Mm-hmm. And so there was this wonderful man by the name of John Hayes that happened to be on the shoreline with his family vacationing. And he saw the boat go by, and he had the wherewithal to think, well, if there's a boat, there must be people. So he started looking around, and he could see our orange life jackets, and he screamed out to my sister, come to me, girl. And 20 feet from the brink, after missing one attempt, she caught his thumb.
Oh, my God.
And a man by the name of John Hayes.
We're looking at his picture, by the way. We're looking at his picture right now. We're looking at his picture right now online. John Hayes.
Yeah. So wonderful man on vacation there, 1960, with his family. And he is credited for being the man that rescued my sister, along with the help of John Catracci. And then in the meantime, I'm out there in the rapids, and it was horrific. I mean, you know,
Roger,
do
you remember what you were thinking at the time, or is it kind of a blur?
No, I remember it. I start smelling the water just talking to you guys about it.
Oh my God. Wow.
So, you know, it was like being in a washing machine. One minute you're being sucked underwater, the next minute you're being thrown into the air and then coming down against rock. So the ride through the rapids was absolutely brutal. But then just before the brink of the falls, the water flattens out, and it's pretty calm. And it was at that moment, you know, you asked me what was I thinking about. As a 7-year-old kid, I was thinking about how sad my parents were going to be that I was going to die. And because I could see across the abyss into Canada, and I could see this big granite rock wall, and I knew that there was a big void coming up very quickly. And so I just started to think about my parents, my family, and my toys, and my dog, Fritz. I had a little Chinese bug.
Wow.
And how sad everybody was going to be that I was going to die, because I really, as a seven-year-old kid, my life passed before me, and I thought I was over. You know, I thought it was done. And then all of a sudden, I was just floating in a cloud. And that's when I went over the brink and went over Niagara Falls with a life jacket. But look, you know, I really want to emphasize, I didn't conquer anything. My sister and I, you know, we're not daredevils. It was a tragic accident. And by the grace of God, my sister and I survived. And unfortunately, our family friend was killed.
How injured were you when they pulled you from the water?
I had a head concussion and I couldn't walk for 3 days, but no broken bones, a lot of scrapes and bruises. Same with my sister. Funny thing, my sister was in the hospital on the American side. I was in the hospital on the Canadian side, and I was rescued by the Mate of the Mist, which is the tour boat that carries tourists. Yeah.
There's a famous picture of you being rescued.
Oh, let me see. Well, let me see, Brandon.
The look that you see on my face is not a smile. I was panicked.
It almost looks like, it almost looks like a smile.
Because you were seven, was there part of you that thought, like, oh, I might be in trouble? You know how seven-year-olds think.
Well, you know, no. I was just totally worried about my sister and Jim.
Yeah.
And as soon as they pulled me out, I just said, hey, you got to find my sister. You got to find Jim. They're still out there. So I wasn't, you know. After the boat pulled me out, Captain Clifford Keach was the skipper, and
well, you remember all these names, don't you?
That's crazy.
Well, it's like, you know, 57 years later, this July 9th, 1960. It's
history.
Part of my life, so it's hard to forget.
Yeah, it's a big piece of history. Boy, that's amazing. Did you float in towards that boat, or did that boat have to come to you?
Well, you know, he was about to do his return trip back to the docks, and as you can imagine, there's a tremendous amount of current because of the falls.
Sure.
And so the current is pushing me out. The current is pushing him away, and he's having to maneuver this really big tour boat, small ship, so he doesn't run over me. He doesn't run over or in dangerous passengers running into the rocks, dealing with the current. Quite an act of seamanship on his part to maneuver so that his crew could throw a life ring to me. It took three attempts before I was actually able to get up on it.
Wow. You still remember that feeling of being on that boat when you first got your legs about you? Well, you didn't have your legs about you, I guess, but just being on that boat, that feeling of safety?
All I wanted to do was go to sleep, and I did ask them for a glass of water for some crazy reason. I was thirsty.
Wow.
But look, you know, I didn't know about Kurt Jones, and I remember when he attempted, I believe it was a
suicide attempt.
He tried to take his life.
Yes,
yeah.
In 2003.
And I was called. My phone rang off the hook, people wanting to know what I thought, and what I thought about it then was that if he did it intentionally to take his life, you know, he just needed help. And it's really tragic to learn that he died today. Did it happen today?
No, it happened in June, actually.
No, it happened in May.
Found in June?
Found him in June. Nobody knew. Nobody knew who was doing this because obviously they would put a stop to it. So he had to do it all in secret, and they found, you know, the inflatable ball, and they found this drone, but then nobody knew where his body was. And then a boat found his body way downriver.
God bless his soul, and may he rest in peace. I mean, that's really tragic. It really is.
Did you ever meet him after he went over in 2003?
No, I didn't, because, again, my sister and I have really tried hard for the last 57 years to not identify with the daredevil thing. But, you know, his was an attempted suicide. And, you know, later I heard that he was in a circus and, you know, he'd gone that path and whatever he was trying to accomplish by doing that. Totally different circumstance. But
I wanted to ask you that, because even though it was a suicide attempt, he really tried to capitalize on it.
He was a troubled guy.
He was big time troubled.
Yeah, it was just so such a contrast in comparison.
Yeah.
You know, ours was, hey, we were kids on a Saturday afternoon boat ride that turned tragic, and like I said, a man died.
Hey, do you go on boats regularly now? Or are you scared of them? Has it scarred you?
No, man. I'm a certified diver, and I love the water, and I've been in boating, you know, most of my life. But now I live in Colorado, so now I'm enjoying the mountains.
And how's your sister? How's your sister doing?
She's doing great. In fact, she just came to visit us and returned home today to Jacksonville, and she's awesome. You know, we're as close as we've ever been, and she's a wonderful lady.
Wow. Well, I'm glad it turned out well for you guys. Sorry about your the family friend. Yeah. Terrible tragedy, but God, what can you say? I mean, your mom gave you forcing your sister to make sure you had that life jacket on. Boy, probably meant everything.
There you go.
Roger, thanks so much for telling the story. I'm sure it's a painful story to tell, and we really had the wrong impression about it, and I apologize for that, but it was really interesting to hear.
No problem. I appreciate the call, and you guys have a great day. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, Roger. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Roger Woodward, the 7-year-old not-so-daredevil. God, that story is so deceptive. I can't believe they printed that.
Like a dick.
Nice. There's the media. Fake news again.
Well, we could have researched it before we called him.
Was kind of on a whim.
Well, it did say. I mean, they made it sound like his parents let him do it or something.
You it's are only fake
been,
news.
Only been done by 7-year-old Roger Woodward. I mean, like it was an actual attempt.
Cannonball.
Boat capsized. He was a passenger.
Yeah.
Damn.
I had a feeling it was a passenger, but I mean, because who would let a 7-year-old do that?
I should have asked him.
I figured it was, like, he fell off a boat or something. I didn't know anybody died.
I should have asked him about, you know, when you're falling, like, when do you know to take that big breath of air? You know, because you're going to go under
right before you go over.
He was a passenger. Wow, he was a total passenger. I'm just looking to see what they said. Jones became the first person to survive a plunge over the falls without a safety device or protection since 1960. That was when 7-year-old Roger Woodward survived wearing only a life jacket.
Well, survive. Well,
yeah, but anybody that goes and makes it survives.
Anybody died in the ordeal.
Yeah. Thanks for the detailed research. Associated Press. Fake news, AP.
Fake news.
Look how AP has fallen. AP and CNN.
You are fake news.